good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cup, hitting the cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We talk about Native issues and human issues, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We're kind of a magazine program here of Native issues, Wendy, and let me point to you right now.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to give them a call with a question.
Hey, just to give everyone a shout out. If I know a lot of people, I'm about to sneeze, but a lot of people are listening to us on TuneIn, mm-hmm. and
okay,
yeah, that was a good one. Woo! Hey, yeah, SoundCloud. That's after our show, but on Devil's Advocate's new app,
mm-hmm.
and YouTube and Facebook Live, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we are like all over the world and then some.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Hey, so. Each week or each day, we used to be a weekly show. Now, since January, we've been on every day, and mm-hmm. it seems like it's a lot less work for us and more for Ogama. but she's over there, and she's up there in the deep north, and she gives us our daily news. So, Ogama, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and tell us who you are.
Hi, Anim Bujou, Robert Wendy. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. I am from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I reside currently in central Minnesota, and I bring the news on Native Roots Radio. So the first thing I want to talk about today, as I always start with pipeline news, is that the Mackinac O'Day, Honor the Earth, and a whole bunch of other awesome activist water protector groups are over in Michigan today and tomorrow, trying to evict Line 5, evict Enbridge from the streets of Mackinac in northern Michigan. So I believe we're going to have Nathan on a little bit later today, and he'll give you some more updates on that. But what you need to know is that the event is also starting early tomorrow and then running into the evening with live music, speakers, events. It's going to be really fantastic. So make sure to check that out or go to MackinacOday.com for a list of the items or the schedule of events, I should say. The other thing that I want to talk about today, you know what I did today, Robert, Wendy?
What did you do today?
I finally got my taxes done. Pushing the border of that being okay. But since I got my taxes done, I figured I'd use today to talk a little bit about what's happening in Minnesota with Enbridge and what's happening with the taxes. Mm-hmm. So in Minnesota, Enbridge appealed its state-assessed property tax valuation, which is handled by the Minnesota Department of Revenue, and they appealed for the years 2012 to 2018 to the Minnesota Tax Court. The Revenue Department is who's responsible for assessing the value of what I guess they consider Enbridge a utility company, and that's who's responsible for that in Minnesota. The tax court ruled that the department overvalued Enbridge's pipelines, meaning they're not worth as much money as Enbridge maybe told them they did in all 5 years, so from 2012 to 2018. So the court ruled in favor of Enbridge for the years 2012 to 2016, but the cases involving 2017, 2018 are still in court. So right now this case is moving toward the Supreme Court, which is now expected to settle exactly how much Enbridge's assets in Minnesota were overvalued by. If the Supreme Court rules that Enbridge's property taxes were overvalued, here's why it's important. 13 counties and jurisdictions that have Enbridge's pipelines running through them could have to issue massive refunds to the company by early July, meaning that Enbridge is going to make the counties that have allowed them to put their pipeline through their land and through the waters of Minnesota to pay them back. So this is a huge thing that I'm not hearing that many people talking about, which is why I wanted to bring it up today. So in Carlton County, which is near Duluth, Minnesota, it's estimated that Enbridge overpaid by nearly $2.5 million. And then when they add in the $675,000 worth of interest to those overpayments, the total is more than $3 million that Carlton County would owe approximately 47% of. Like, this is just like blowing my mind right now.
What you're saying is that Enbridge has given money to these counties, and now these counties have to pay them back because they've overstated their value. Is that what you're saying?
If the Supreme Court rules so.
Exactly. And the state of Minnesota has already ruled that that is correct. So now what's happening is that representatives from these affected areas, these districts, are either testifying in the Minnesota Senate Subcommittee on Property Taxes, or they have announced that they are supporting a bill that would put the burden of issuing the refund solely on the state of Minnesota, because a lot of these counties can't afford to be paying back Enbridge these millions of dollars.
So we here in St. Paul might have to – some of our tax dollars might have to go to help
pay
the counties.
Enbridge.
Oh, I'm mad
to
about
pay
that.
Enbridge. Mm.
Here's what might make Robert mad. So in Carlton, Cloquet, and Renshaw school districts combined, they could owe $450,000, including interest.
Yeah.
Because the school districts are funded by property tax, which then means the school districts received a chunk of that funding that needs to be paid back and therefore receive less state funding. What happens with school districts is a portion of the school district's money are funded by property taxes, which is already, as we know, not the best system, because it means poor areas receive less funding than wealthier areas, right? But what happens is the state tries to offset that state funding to try to even out the school districts and try to get them all a semi-equal part of the pie. So based on which counties have less property taxes, they get more state funding. Well, because these smaller school districts and these school districts where Enbridge's pipeline is going through, the property taxes overall were higher because there's higher property taxes thanks to Enbridge. So now the school districts are going to be suffering as well. It's not just us taxpayers. Well, it's schools all over northern Minnesota as well.
How did this come about? So, I mean, who complained that they were overpriced? Enbridge?
Enbridge did. Enbridge appealed its state-assessed property tax valuation in Minnesota going back to 2012.
Wow. They really are the devil. They really are. No matter where you turn, no matter where you go, they're up to something. There's something no good about them.
Well, and that's a good point. But the other point is the people that support them, mm-hmm. that are politicians here that support them.
Yeah.
And here we go. This is a reason not to. But mm-hmm. how can we make those politicians accountable, including the governor?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And those same politicians are now putting through a bill basically saying that it's going to bankrupt their counties to pay this back to Enbridge, and that they did not decide. Here's the thing: is the state of Minnesota's revenue department decided the property tax values and went with it, and now they've decided that indeed they were overvalued after Enbridge asked them. So these counties and the representatives that represent these counties are now going to the state of Minnesota and saying, "Well, we didn't make those decisions; you did, and the state should be fully responsible for that, not our small counties."
Wow.
I'm shocked. Wow.
And then that's going to really put a wrench in between people that are for and against the pipeline even more.
Well, maybe the Supreme Court will realize how bad Enbridge is, and they won't, rule in their favor.
We can only hope, right?
We can only hope. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Wow. I'm kind of stunned here. I did see that.
We're both in shock.
I did see that article fly by my mm-hmm. desk, but I wasn't comprehending until now. Thanks, Ogama. Wow. I'm kind of stunned here. Hey, up next, Wendy and Ogama, we're going to have Nathan Wright, and he's going to give us a phone call kind of update of what's going on Mackinac Island, which is a very sacred island he was mm-hmm. talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to see what's going on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Be my way.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Haluza Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wendy, I have a huge FOMO.
Why? I know you wanted to go to Michigan.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Vic Embridge, especially after that last story.
I know. Jeez. I know.
But, you know, we have a regular on that's, you know, been kind of running this and coordinating the Evict Embridge here that on May 12th and 13th in Mackinac City, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think we got to put him on the payroll because now he's on the show again. Hey, welcome, Nathan.
Yes. Honey.
Hey, tell us what's going on. I mean, I'm getting FOMO here. I feel like I should be there, but we got to hold the fort down here, and that's not a good thing to say on a Native American show. So we got to hold the campground here, not the fort.
And for the listeners who don't know what FOMO means, it means fear of missing out.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And everyone, yeah, it is. It's been extremely wonderful. We just got done with the feast. It's been a great day. We've had speakers out here. It's been very peaceful. We've had a couple police drive by. As a matter of fact, there was one that just drove by as I pulled up. And Winona's people are here. We've had lots of people from around. And when I pulled in earlier today, as I'm pulling in, Jim Northrup was there. And then I'm talking to him, wanting to interview him. And then Nathan Phillips is like right next to him. And it's like all these people are just pouring in that you didn't expect to see. So it's been a time of peaceful action, no problems from anybody. And just, you know, a couple police cars driving by. But the police seem to just, you know, be doing what they do here. No one's telling anyone not to do that. And surprisingly, some of the places we parked at, there wasn't an issue with. So we really appreciated that.
Wow. So I want you to tell our people some highlights of today and then also talk about what's going to happen tomorrow, because we got people listening live in Wisconsin and all over Turtle Island on Facebook Live.
Sure. So today we had, you know, a lot of media had came down, lots of great speakers, lots of great people. So the highlights were probably those events. They made some, there's a screen printer here right now that's making shirts for tomorrow, for our walk tomorrow. We have a lot of artwork that is being put together, a lot of musicians and artists and just people that are, you know, coming together. It's been a very positive community get together. Very, you know, it's reminiscent of Standing Rock, but it's a mini Standing Rock. You know, that sense of community and everyone working together for a greater cause. Like, there's some people here right now that are helping out cleaning up. This place is all cleaned already, so everything looks really nicely organized and done. So it's just been great. No trouble at all, just nothing but goodness. Teachings from elders who came up. There were some elders that wanted to speak. They felt it was important for them to come here from a long distance and come up here and speak. And they were talking about the importance of treaty rights. Many speakers, many art. And then we had the plant walk this morning, and we had about almost 20, 30, maybe it was like 25 people, and that went well too. So lots of interviews on local media today, and that's where we're at.
Well, that's great. I'm really happy that there wasn't any opposition there. You know, even like other people who live in that area who maybe want the pipeline, you know, so I'm happy that there wasn't any opposition. That's great.
And we haven't seen any yet. We did have a barge that was out in front on the shoreline that we thought was Enbridge kind of making noise and being rude and obnoxious, which is something that we expect. But I don't think that was them. I think it was actually a barge that just happened to get stuck on the shoreline where Enbridge's pipeline is. So we had some media check into that. So it's been very positive. Everyone here, it's peaceful. They're wrapping up the events for today. People are cleaning up. It's just been a really great, filling experience that had many teachings and many just different positives. So tomorrow we're looking forward to taking this day and then transforming it into more of the action part of it by going through downtown Mackinac City. We're going to have our regalia on. We're going to have a mixed group of people. We're going to have our Eagle staffs there. We're going to walk 2.5 miles. People that have disabilities or that are elders can ride the bus. You can take the bus in, and then we're going to do the eviction notice right here with Enbridge. Just loud noise. I don't know if you can hear it in the background. They're pumping station. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do a segment on missing and murdered Indigenous women, go down to the shoreline, which is about 1/4 mile from where we're at right now, and then we're going to do our ceremonies there. The Kwe are going to sing to the water, a water ceremony, and then we're going to introduce the revitalize the Mishipishu ceremony, which is what I'm calling it right now. That's not the actual name, but we're going to do an offering on a large grandfather that's out in the water. So 4 men are going to walk out there in this cold water to do this offering.
Wow.
And then wrap it up at 2 p.m., head over to Conklin, 2 to 9 p.m., where we're going to have lots of incredible speakers, including Winona Duke, and Nathan Phillips will be there, and many others. And it's going to be incredible. This day was incredible, but I think it's going to be just as equally or even more incredible there, because we expect more people to come, especially after the news bombardment that we had this evening.
Yeah, Nathan, you know, yesterday you told us about the creation story. We have about 5 minutes left. Could you quickly tell our audience, maybe there's people who didn't hear it yesterday, just review?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So I've been really pushing with the media about how significant the Mackinac Straits are for us as Anishinaabe people. It's one of our stories with the Great Flood, where the people weren't doing so great, so Crater made a great flood. Nanny Bujok, similar to Noah, grabbed all the animals, and he was in a big jimon, big canoe, and he floated around for a while, and it got to a point where they needed to find some land, and he just needed a little bit of dirt because he's got all this magic. So he started sending animals down to look for soil, to find any type of soil. He just needed a little bit just to do his magic. And animals kept going down, and they kept coming up, and they were disappointing him. And, you know, even though he thanked them for trying, And finally, the muskrat came up, and he said, "Hey, I can do it. And they were like, "Well, I don't know if you could do that. You know, you're a small animal. I don't know if you could make it down there." And he's like, I could do it. So he jumped in, and they waited. Everyone waited patiently. It was almost like their last bit of hope. And they waited for him, and they waited, and it started to get dark. And then eventually they seen something floating, and Nana Bougeau went over there, and he picked up this muskrat, and the muskrat had died, and Nana Bougeau felt really sad for him, and he was holding him, like cradling him, you know, and felt really bad that he died trying to do this. But then Nana Bougeau got excited when he seen a little bit of soil underneath the muskrat's hands. He made it down to the bottom. So Nana Bougeau grabbed that soil, and he put it in his hands, and he blew, and that sand and dirt went up in the air and started to form Michilimackinac, which is now Mackinac Island. And I'm right here at Magopan Point, where that pipe goes through the water, and you could literally see Mackinac Island from here. This is our sacred waters. This is our Jerusalem. This is our Black Hills. And we, as Anishinaabe, need to all come together to get this pipeline out before it breaks and spills. And it's not just the 4-mile part. It's the whole entire pipeline.
Yes. Well, Nathan, we're with Nathan Wright, Mackinac O'Day founder. And you should be very proud of yourself of this event, this 2-day event that you're doing. I am so proud to know you and so happy that you've been able to share this story and the story of what you're going through there with Enbridge and Line 5 and also the positive creation story. Really, thank you so much for being on.
Miigwech, brother. Miigwech for having me.
Right on. Wow, Wendy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing.
And I just hope that, you know, tomorrow they're going to hand Enbridge the, like, seas. They have to stop doing their work and they have to leave, right? So I hope that happens and that Enbridge leaves and...
Yeah, eviction.
Eviction.
Evict him.
That's right.
And I'd like to evict him here real quick. And yeah, I do have FOMO, but it's a good thing there's going to be more things going on, especially up here in the deep north. Things I see are cooking with Honor the Earth, MN350, and all the McGeezy camp, Palisade camp, also Dawn's camp up in the deep north. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to get involved. We'll be doing some remote broadcasting, I'm sure, Wendy. Wow. Hey, again, we want to thank Nathan Wright. He's a water protector and founder of Mackinac O'Day, Heart of the Turtle, Stop Line 5 in Michigan, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. We have to stop these pipelines.
Because pipelines leak and they go through sacred areas. Mm-hmm. We would not have this show here on. We would not be on the radio, Wendy, if they originally put Dakota Access Pipeline...
Through Bismarck.
Thank you. Through Bismarck. Mm-hmm. We would not be here. Mm-mm. But they said, no, put it through the Indian Land pipe. Pipelines leak. We don't want this going through our area. So instead of maybe having pipelines up in Bemidji, maybe we should have them here in St. Paul.
Mm-mm.
Right through the governor's mansion. I'm serious.
I know. No, I know. I know you're not kidding.
I'm upset today because I got FOMO, too. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
The only place I take my Sienna for service is Rudy Luther Toyota. After you buy your Toyota from Rudy Luther, the relationship is just beginning. Rudy Luther offers incredible service specials for your Toyota. You can find the specials online at rudyluthertoyota.com. Get great deals on tires, batteries, alignment, air filters, oil changes, and even wiper blades. Plus, their service department will inspect your vehicle and make sure it's good to go. For service on your Toyota, the only place to go is Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen of the Green News Report and the Bradcast. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for the Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship. With this degree, you'll develop the skills to help tribal governments manage natural resources and navigate the legal, cultural, and political contours of tribal sovereignty. And you can take all the courses online to apply for the Fall 2021 Masters of Tribal Resources and Environmental Stewardship at Minnesota Duluth. Visit umdmtrees.org. That's umdmtrees.org.
When you're trying to stay safe, you want the best protection possible. And when it comes to PPE, that means Lutema. Made in the USA with the highest quality materials, Lutema has mask sizes for all. Lutema masks pass ASTM Level 3 and NIOSH efficiency standards and come in a wide variety of colors and types, including M95i. Get your American-made face mask at Lutema.com. That's L-U-T-E-M-A.com. And get 40% off your first purchase single item with promo code RADIO at Lutema.com.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 44, Thursday sunny with a high near 70, Friday partly cloudy with a high near 65, and Saturday sunny with a high around 66. Create a bee-friendly landscape in your backyard with Minnehaha Falls Landscaping. They can build patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, and more. So get started towards your eco- and pollinator-friendly backyard today with Minnehaha Falls Landscaping. Visit MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, today's Wednesday, and you know, I think our show has a lot to do with protecting Mother Earth and its beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think today is a great example of it. We have Bob Blake and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, Wendy, mm-hmm. and Bob has all this great information about things that are happening and things that could be and things that are going to be. And our swag. Welcome Bob Blake from Red Lake. How's it going today?
Hey, good everyone. How's it going? I've got some really cool stories here, Robert. And you know, in light of what's happening with the pipeline, right, that's out in the East Coast, you know, the one that got shut down, it got hacked, right?
Yeah, the one from Texas to New Jersey. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that this was a really cool story to start out with. And, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, because I feel like that's going to be happening more, right? Like more of the infrastructure is going to be attacked. And I think what happened during ERCOT, you know, when the Texas grid went down, right?
Yeah.
Like that really showed the world how vulnerable this country is, its infrastructure. And I just feel like – bad actors out there are going to try and take advantage of that, right?
Exactly. I'm going to try and get an old car that doesn't have any computers in it next, and so I can still drive my car once everybody else has been hacked and they can't run with their computers.
Well, you know what? Check this out. So here's what they're currently working on. A research lab. This research lab is currently working on being able to, so your car can charge as it drives, okay, on the highway. Yeah, and it's these magnetics, Robert, that are in the highway, and what it does is it like it connects to your battery. So in one lane you're unable to charge, but in the other lane, which would be like a charging lane, right? Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. able to charge your vehicle as you drive. So they're saying that this technology can be deployed in less than 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why can't we just get energy from the wheels spinning?
And that's how my car works, right? So I have a regenerative braking system. Mm-hmm. That charges the vehicle when I use my brakes.
Oh,
so wow. Yeah. So I think that eventually there's going to be a way that we're going to be able to work it inside the wheels. And I believe they're working on this right now. I know I've seen an article or two about it, but there's just so many things out there that are happening mm-hmm. around renewables. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another story, BMW and Ford are spending $130 million on advanced EV batteries. So this is like, so your car can like, you know, go 500 miles on a single charge, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're spending massive amounts of money on EV technology and trying to figure out more responsible ways to source the materials that go into these batteries, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool that this is at the top of their, you know, to-do list. And so I thought that was a really cool story. And I mean, I would make the argument, Robert, that this could be like a national security issue. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, especially kind of like what's happening with the pipeline and it being hacked. And so, I mean, I think this could be like a national security issue. So anyways, kind of a bad story here. Not so good, but I want to make people aware of it. Hurricane Andres, which is like the earliest hurricane ever to be categorized by the National Weather Service, was just named last week. So it's the earliest hurricane ever to be named. So that's not a good thing. And
where's that heading, Bob?
That's out in the Atlantic. That was out in the Atlantic last week. So just saying that was the earliest formed hurricane ever. So not good. Farmers in North Dakota are complaining because they are planting in a drought. The ground is not moist enough for them to plant. So they are complaining about that. And another one here, this isn't really good, but I think it goes into all the climate stuff that we talk about. The thickness of the atmosphere layer has contracted by 400 meters since the 1980s, the ozone layer. And wow. researchers found that it will thin by another kilometer by 2080 without major cuts in emissions. So these changes will have potential effects on satellites, GPS navigation systems, radio communications. And I mean, you know, how does that affect like the space junk up there? I mean, I kind of wonder, you know, right. We had some space junk follow the other week.
Yeah. We had China. They didn't know where their Chinese didn't know where their, was it a satellite, Wendy, or was it a spaceship rocket or something?
It was a spaceship rocket part that was falling to the Earth, and nobody knew where it was going to land. I don't even know what happened to it.
It landed in the ocean, but they weren't sure it was going to happen. And there's so much space junk. You ever see those things? Those diagrams showing how much space junk's up there? It's just amazing, Robert.
Yeah, I just think that's an incredible story that, like, the amount of emissions that we're putting in the greenhouse gases, right, that is depleting the ozone layer is, oh boy, not good. Anyways, I thought this was an interesting article too, because a new study published in Elsevier's Journal of Environmental Research links having living by fracking to a higher rate of hospitalization and death from heart attacks. So they did a study with people out in Pennsylvania and New York, and they found that if you live next to fracking, you would have a higher rate of heart attacks and hospitalization. And, you know, I remember when I was up at Fort Berthold up in North Dakota, and you could smell the fracking, like you could smell the gas inside of your like hotel room. Wow. And I remember talking to a couple of the tribal members up there, and they were saying that there were, like, you know, natives going to, like, the hospital, like, you know, for breathing and heart, breathing conditions, like, you know. And I don't think this fracking, and we got to get out of this fossil fuel mess right. that we're in.
We really need to take a grip, because I know, like, Wendy, Robert, we talk about a lot of times, like, factory farms and how they emit all these chemicals in the air, and all the people that live around these things, just like fracking, get sick, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, because they're spraying the feces and the manure and the urine out into the, you know, the air, atmosphere, yeah. in fine droplets. And the people, of course, they're very poor areas, and that's why they get away with doing it. And the people who live there, you know, have asthma and breathing problems, respiratory problems.
So it's just like, if we're not protecting Mother Earth, we're not protecting ourselves.
That's right.
Bob, you know,
not.
Right?
We are not.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so true, Robert. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, I just did an interview with the University of Minnesota's, like, planetary health department, and it's their nurses, right? All the nurses over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's incredible work that they're doing over there, but they're doing such great work in connecting, like, just how, and we Native people have always known that, you know, we're connected to the environment, but, like, right. they are just, like, teaching this, like, getting it through to their health professionals that, you know, we are so connected to our environment, and it really does affect our health. And I just think that that needs to be, like, taught in, like, all of the curriculum.
Right.
It's cool.
Well, Robert, I know, like, a lot of our Native brothers and sisters, if they want to feel good, if they're feeling anxious or whatever, what they do is they take their shoes off and socks and walk on the earth and get connected. And it's a psychological, but it's also a neurological kind of thing, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a physical thing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, getting out in nature anytime, even if you have your shoes on and you're walking in nature. For me, it helps my psyche and my physical body. Yeah.
And I've always had, like, I've always liked trees ever since I was a kid. I mean, friends that know me have known I've always liked trees or being around trees. And there's like studies that I've done, Robert, where, like, their roots are all connected.
Right.
And, like, they're, like, giving off, like, life to, like, the other, like, you know, grass and other stuff and plants. Mm-hmm. I never knew that. But, like, they're actually, like, caretakers to us. You know what I'm saying?
And talking to each other. And the talking to each other through the roots.
And if one tree is sick, the other trees will help it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Give it the nutrients and things it needs.
And that's the kind of work, really innovative work that they're doing at the University of Minnesota's, like, planetary health stuff. And it's just, I encourage people to check them out. Dr. Teddy Potter, she's doing incredible work over there with the nurses. And I just, man, check those guys out. I think it's really cool what they're doing over there. So I just want to let everybody know that. And hey, my last story, I think this is really important, Robert, but Germany unveils a plan to become the leading hub for sustainable finance. And I really, really want to encourage this country, the United States of America, to get into this. because, you know, financing all these renewable energy projects around the world is going to be huge. And there's just like a way to do it. You know what I mean? And so I really feel like, you know, like this is such a smart thing that Germany is doing. I mean, obviously they're always doing stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, I just want to say that, Robert.
Well, Robert, thank you so much, you know, for giving us this great information and things to think about. I got the chills when we started talking about the trees talking mm-hmm. themselves, because I've read that report too. And it just, you know, with the day-to-day living, we forget these things that are very basic to our world, mm-hmm. our planet. You know, we're going to get rid of this concrete out in front of our house.
The lawn,
and we're going to put a bee garden out there.
Pollinator garden. Yeah,
just great things happen. So thank you so much, Bob Blake, for being on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Robert. Thank you guys for doing what you do. And Ogama.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake, and this show is dedicated to all those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are Awake, and I'd like to throw in there too, Wendy, we are all our relatives, too, that we're fighting for. Mm-hmm. And everything's connected, right?
Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. All things are our relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one.
Black Elk.
Cool. I want to introduce Wendy again, and Wendy's been on since the beginning of the show. And also, you are and me are the only ones left over from the very beginning of this show.
We're stragglers, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Hey, you are a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and you work on animal issues at the state and local level.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Tell us your name. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, so as always, Curtis, thank you.
We miss you, Curtis.
Yeah. So today I have an article here, again, in the Grand Canyon National Park. They're going to be culling bison. So culling, you know what culling means.
Killing.
Yep. Thousands sign a petition to stop the Grand Canyon bison hunt lottery after 45,000 people volunteered to be one of the skilled hunters that could kill the bison. Thousands of people have signed the petition to oppose the planned killing of bison in the Grand Canyon National Park. Last month, the U.S. National Park Service and Arizona Game and Fish Department announced it was looking for skilled volunteers to take part in the removal of the bison from the North Rim area of the Grand Canyon Park. The lethal removal is due to start in the fall of this year. The NPS said the park is aiming to reduce the number of bison in the area to less than 200 by the year 2025, citing concerns about the bison's impact on the park's resources. However, the plans have faced criticism, and indigenous organization the Sioux Chief launched a petition a week ago to counter the cull.
Yeah. What the hell?
Exactly.
I mean, heck.
I know. At the time of writing, it has gained more than 7,600 signatures. And I'll post this petition on our Facebook so you guys could sign it as well. The petition reads, In the 1850s, the U.S. government killed millions of these animals as a means of weakening indigenous communities across the West to ensure a campaign to take over their lands. There are better solutions than the thoughtless slaughter of so many animals. The petition also states that slaughtering this many bison without proper tribal consideration is wrong. The NPS said its efforts to reduce the bison population is supported via consultation with the public and traditionally associated tribes. It added that a live capture and relocation program was piloted in 2019 and that 88 animals have so far been relocated to five American Indian tribes. Plans for lethal culling and relocation were set out in a Trump-era environmental assessment in 2017. In a statement, the NPS said it was concerned about the House Rock bison herd's impact on park resources such as water, vegetation, soils, archaeological sites, as well as visitor experience. It claimed reducing the size of the herd would protect resources. At the time, the service said the House Rock bison herd had grown from around 100 in early 1900s to between 400 and 600, and that this could increase to between 1,200 and 1,500 in 10 years. The response to the NPS request for hunting volunteers has been significant. Applications opened on May 3rd and closed 2 days later, by which time more than 45,000 people had applied, according to the BBC. The service has said it will only choose 12 participants to become a skilled volunteer. These will be selected from a chosen pool of 25 using a random lottery system.
Wait, the 12, are those the shooters?
Yes.
Ah, geez.
They're and you know, I looked at like the criteria of the shooters. So they have to have like their hunting license for X amount of years. They do a background check.
No soul. Probably no soul.
Yes, probably no soul is checked off on there. The thing that gets me, Robert, is that 45,000 people applied to be volunteers to shoot these animals. What does that go to show you about the human race and what's inside these people? They just want to shoot. It's crazy. Yeah. Criticism of the planned bison killings has also come from animal rights groups. So PETA, which is the people's... PETA.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Thank you, Ogama. Elsa Allen, PETA director, told Euronews that lethal population control only causes animal populations to rebound when the loss of herd members results in a spike in the food supply. Allen added, adding to this cruel, pointless fiasco is the fact that it can be difficult for hunters to get a clear show, causing the animals to endure a violent, slow, painful deaths. Bison can weigh up to 2,000 pounds and run at speeds up to 40 miles per hour.
Oh.
There were once tens of millions in North America, and today there are estimated to be around 20,500 plains bison left. The World Wildlife Fund lists bison as near threatened and states that no other species on Earth declined so quickly as the bison once did.
Well, this is deja vu all over again.
This is deja vu.
Native Americans,
and you know what? There's other humane ways to get rid of the bison.
Move them.
Okay, move them. Take them. They're alive. You move them to other areas. You move them to other tribes. They could have the, you know, have the bison on there. There's also ways that they do, like with horses, like wild horses, like they'll shoot the horse, but they'll inject like a birth control so that they can't reproduce. There's many, many ways that the bison can be, their herd can be kept at a lower number humanely. So what I'll do is I'll put this up on our Facebook page. You could just Google Grand Canyon bison cull and everything comes up. Just Google that and there's petitions that come up and just sign it and just tell them that you don't want these. And you know what? 45,000 people. Come on.
How about if you gave them $10 to apply to be one of these murderers and then use that $450,000 to do something like you said is like, you know, put them on birth control or whatever. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, if you've seen those pictures, this is just deja vu for us, those pictures of all those bison bones. Millions and millions of them.
Piled up on each other like mountains.
What's old is new, and I'm irritated. This has been a very irritating show, Wendy.
It is irritating, but we need to know what's going on, and we need to help stop the bad stuff. So that's why sometimes we have to talk about the bad stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, I would like to end with these thoughts, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I want to thank our first guest, Wendy.
Nathan Wright.
Thank you. And then our second guest, Bob Blake from Red Lake. Okay. And I would really like to thank you for all you do for our relatives and Ogama, for all the news and all the background stuff you do for Native Roots Radio, Pini Gigi. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line three.